10 minutes to 7, and we've got an incredible young lady in studio with us, Megan Peacock. Welcome and good morning.
Thank you so much. It's really cool to be here.
So you've had dreams about being on radio?
Yeah,
and stuff.
Ever since I was little. When I was probably like 8 years old, my sister and I would pretend that we were radio presenters, put on British accents, and do a whole little BBC show.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Sure, so this is kind of full circle a
little
bit.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely a dream come true.
For reasons, though, that I don't know.
Yeah, I didn't see myself getting here this way.
Yeah. Okay, so just kind of letting the cat out the bag. Sunday afternoon changed everything for you. Do you want to take us through just everything that happened from the beginning?
Sure. Yeah. So I was out with a group of friends. We were going to a place called Cool Bay near where I live. And we parked. It's just pretty much just a rocky ledge and then a drop into the ocean. And we were just on the rocks, you know, taking photos, having a picnic, doing that kind of stuff. And a friend and I climbed to the edge of the rock ledge. So there was two rows of rocks. We were on the second one from the drop. And we'd been watching the waves for about 45 minutes. And I swim in the ocean all the time. I climb rocks all the time. You know, I know the water kind of thing. And the waves weren't too big. And I was up there and I was holding on. And suddenly my sister-in-law shouted from behind me, "There's a big wave coming." And the guy I was with, Aaron, he started scrambling back. I started climbing up, and I turned back, and all I saw was white, and then the wave just took me.
Oh. So you were on the rocks, and the wave came crashing over you on the rocks.
And it was like a rogue wave. It was easily four times bigger than any of the waves that had hit so far.
Yeah.
And Aaron fell the opposite way over the rocks into a rock pool, but I went down onto the rocks. I was submerged and bouncing over the rocks for about a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So my first instinct was just cover my head because obviously it's kind of important.
Yeah.
So I just covered my head and was just bouncing through the rocks underwater.
And even as you're lifting up your arms, I see the scratches on your arms.
Yeah, you can see from where they were bashed up.
Yeah.
But in that moment, I thought to myself, this is not happening to me. I am not the person who gets washed out to sea. You know, you read about it in the newspaper and you hear about it, but this is not me. And then I made it through the rocks. So I was bouncing over the rocks. I got a puncture wound on my knee, which I've got a couple stitches and a lot of scratches and bruises. And then I was submerged for about a minute in the suction between the rock and the waves. And I just remember thinking, I don't know if I can hold my breath long enough. I don't know if I can make it.
Yeah.
But funny enough, a line from the Titanic, the Titanic, popped into my head. You know where the Titanic is sinking, and Jack says to Rose, "When the boat hits the water, it's going to pull you down with it, and I want you to kick for the top. You're not going to know which way is up, which way is down, but you just kick for the top."
Wow.
And as I went down, that line came to my mind, so I just kicked
for
the top as hard as I could.
Do you think that was, like, that was godsend?
For sure. And even the covering my head thing, my cousin's a police officer in Canada, and I said to her one day, if you're ever in a car accident, what is the best position to assume, like, as on impact? And she said, "I don't know, but I think definitely cover your head. It's probably the wisest." So as I went under, I thought, cover your head. So it's just all these moments that were popping into my head at the right time.
Sure.
Yeah. So then I kicked to the top and I went under probably about three or four more waves that were breaking against the rocks. And then I just swam far enough out that the breakers wouldn't crash me against the rocks again. Because I think that is one of the most dangerous things when you're out at sea, is that you are pulled back into the rocks and you hit them and you lose consciousness.
Yeah.
So then I swam out till I was past the breakers, and I was out there treading water for about an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, my fingers and my toes went numb from the cold, and there were things touching my feet and touching my hands, and the water was just black. I couldn't even see my feet. It was just black, and storm clouds. It was windy and choppy, and swells were coming that were like seven times my height coming towards me, and I was just like, just ride these waves, just hang on, just wait. Yeah.
Wow.
So it was pretty crazy.
And what was going through your mind for an hour?
For the whole hour, I was just begging God. I don't think I've ever offered up so many short but frequent prayers. All I was saying was, God, just send help.
Yeah.
God, help me. God, save me. Don't let me die this way.
Yeah.
And I was screaming to my family on the rocks, send a boat, send a helicopter, send something, because I need help. And I've never felt such a sense of helplessness.
Yeah.
Where on my own, I could actually do nothing.
Yeah.
That I needed intervention, because eventually I floated so far out that they couldn't even hear me. I couldn't hear them.
Yeah.
I couldn't swim back in. There was no helicopter coming. There was no boat coming. There was nothing. I didn't know how long I was going to be out there. And just that sheer sense of helplessness that this is it.
Yeah.
You know? I think that was, that's what was going through my mind.
And of course, we were just kind of briefly talking off air, the helplessness of your family as well.
For sure.
Kind of not knowing what to do, knowing.
I think it was really traumatic for them.
Yeah.
My sister said, as I was washed off, she said she thought I was dead immediately. Yeah. She thought I was dead. And my parents back home, thank goodness they weren't there at the time. But they got a phone call from a friend, and she just said, your daughter's been washed out to sea. We can see her body floating in the water.
And that's all they knew.
Yeah, that's all they knew. And so they phoned back and they said, is she alive? Can you see her moving? Yeah. Is she alive? So for a while, they thought they'd lost me. They thought that was it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even for my brothers and my sister, they were taking their clothes off to get in.
Wow.
But when I spoke to the NSRI, they said, they phoned me that evening, and the guy on the phone with me, he said he cannot remember the last time he's responded to a call from someone being swept off of those rocks that they haven't pulled bodies out of the ocean. He said he can't remember the last time. He said it was such a treat to speak to the person who was in the water.
Yeah.
Because he's usually the one making the call to say, you've lost a daughter, you've lost a son, a father, a mother.
And you're here talking to us this morning.
Yeah, I'm here talking. So it was a miracle.
Yeah.
And all my other bruises and whatever, aside from that, I have this tiny, tiny hairline scratch across my rib where a rock touched me.
Wow.
Just touched me. And if it had hit me, I could have punctured a lung, broken a rib. You know, I could have drowned.
Yeah.
And even just the sheer fact that I didn't hit my head, I didn't break a leg, I didn't break an arm, I could swim.
Yeah.
I was conscious.
Yeah.
It's just,
that is crazy.
It's insane.
Yeah. That is so God.
Yeah, completely. There's actually no other way to describe it. But I shouted at one point. I was in the water and I shouted out to them, just pray for me.
Mm-hmm.
Just pray for me. And a friend of mine, his name's Luke Heumann, he was on the shore, and the second I fell in, they said he crouched down, he got on his knees, he lifted his hands up to the ocean, and he just prayed. The whole hour I was in there, he just prayed.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was incredible.
Man.
Yeah.
Sure. That is crazy. It just reminds me of a line or something that I was listening to Brian Johnson say the other day.
Yeah.
Consider it a great privilege when God is your only option.
Yeah.
Because you know that he's not going to let you down.
For you.
You know?
Yeah.
Man.
And I think that's something coming out of it that struck me, is that it happened in a moment. And all of life, really, we walk this knife edge. And as we're walking it, there are an infinite number of possibilities. We walk this knife edge, and at any moment, everything and anything could happen to us. And despite that overwhelming amount of, you know, choice of the way that our lives could go, things happen in such a way, you know.
Yeah.
If I had fallen an inch to the left or an inch to the right.
Yeah.
If I had taken one less swimming lesson as a child, or
you didn't watch the Titanic.
Yeah, if I didn't watch the Titanic, you know, God holds everything in this perfect, perfect balance.
Yeah.
And in a sense, that gave me comfort while I was out there, because I really do believe that he holds our days in his hands. He knows when we're supposed to go. He knows how long we're supposed to stay. And if I went through something that has killed many people, that line, that road across that ocean portion is lined with crosses of people who have lost their lives there. And if God brought me through that, it must be for a reason.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I really believe that if he wants you to be here, nothing will stop that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Megan Peacock, it's been such a privilege to have you here this morning.
Yeah,
thank you so much for coming. Thanks for sharing. And we want to thank the NSRI as well.
Yeah, absolutely. They were incredible.
Yeah, for doing a really amazing job and continually doing incredible just works out there.
Yeah. I can't even describe the feeling. I looked up at them and saw the boat coming. It was just the most incredible sense of relief.
Yeah.
And as they pulled me out, I was like, do I have any mascara smudges?
Wow. Oh man, Megan, thanks again. And yeah, sure.
Thank you for having me.
I was super excited to see what God would do through your life.
Absolutely.
And for your parents and your family.
Yeah,
we just thank you. We'll pray for continual support and comfort from His Spirit just through this time. We're just kind of processing everything.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you. Really thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yo, check it out. If breakfast is the most important meal of your day, rockin', ladies and gentlemen, then you need to have yours in the company of friends.
It's always on.